Welcome to Timeless Truth with Pastor Jim Thomas. This week, we'll continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. If you'd like to support this resource and the mission of The Village Chapel in Nashville, Tennessee, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com/give. Just as a reminder, we've introduced a new schedule with episodes releasing every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We pray the Lord is using these studies of God's Word for your good and His glory. Now, here's Pastor Jim.
So great to have you with me again today as we study the Sermon on the Mount. Special thanks to the folks we've heard from who have let us know they're listening around the world, actually. Kenya, a couple folks from different cities in Australia, folks in Canada, and throughout the United States as well. If you are joining me today, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 19 through 24 today. And it goes just like this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so overall, I think we've got a theme here from Jesus about the things we value. Axiology is that branch of philosophy that deals with the subject or the subjects, if you will, of the things we value. What's important? How do we come to the conclusion that this is more valuable than that? And those are really important questions in our own day and age as well. I am reminded of the C.S. Lewis quote that I'll read for you from The Weight of Glory, one of my favorite essays by C.S. Lewis. And if you've never read it, I highly recommend you get a copy of it sometime. If there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desire not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't even imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased, said Lewis. I think he was right there, don't you? So what of Jesus' comments about our treasures? I think that's really important. We can direct our heart's affections. I think he says at least that much. He makes it real clear that you don't want to lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. You do want to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So I think there's three things being said here. One, we can direct our heart's affections. We can pursue either earthly or heavenly treasures. And this is one of the ways to tell where your heart is gone is to look at what your treasuring. So you can direct your heart's affections. Secondly, the human heart will lay up treasures. And that's very simple. It's not a basketball term here. This is just about where you're going to stockpile, the kinds of treasures you're going to stockpile and store up. They become and reveal the object of your affections. Thirdly, there are treasures in heaven that are of much greater value than the perishable treasures of earth. Look at what 1 Peter, I love what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy," I love this, "has caused us to, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And notice this, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, that's a treasure to hold on to set your eyes on, to aspire, you know, for. What kind of treasures are we laying up? Where are your affections set? In which direction? What is forming your affections? I think that's important to note, too. What's influencing our values, our axiology? How are we being shaped in the way that we see life and what's valuable in life? Again, if you're not sure, simply take a look at what you do when you have some free time or some extra money or some resources. What draws your mind, your heart, your attention? What are you earnestly seeking to achieve, accomplish, or acquire, thinking to yourself, somehow that's going to make my soul flourish or satisfy me? And really, as you get to the end of the passage we just read, you can't serve two masters. He says, what has mastery over your heart? These are good metaphors that Jesus has given us to be able to sort of do an evaluation on what it is we love, the things that have our heart. J.C. Ryle was an English evangelical, first Anglican bishop of Liverpool. He said, a tree may always be known by its fruit, and a true Christian may always be discovered by their habits, tastes, and affections. I think Ryle was right there. So as you take stock of your habits, your tastes, and your affections, what do you see? I think our habits are our default settings, the things that we just do by habit, by rote, if you will. Our tendencies, maybe, our practices, if you will, the things that seem to come automatically to, almost muscle memory for us in life. Your tastes are your preferences, your predilections, your inclinations. I prefer this, I choose this over that, that kind of thing. And interestingly, our English word, as J.C. Ryle said, these are your habits, tastes, and affections. The English word affection comes from the Latin verb affectio, and it means to influence. And so this is really important, I think. Jesus wants us to consider what is influencing our heart's desires. Our treasures reveal those things that we desire, that we love, and that we want to serve, where we find fulfillment, where we think we'll find fulfillment and flourishing. And these are the things that we're fond of, that we give preference to in life. How they are formed in us is an important matter for us to think about and to talk about. It's always been that way. The heart always makes a convert of the head. Oftentimes, we might even think this isn't the best course or path, but our heart, which is the seat of our desires, rationalizes, argues with our mind in the background here, and sometimes we don't even know we're doing it, and our heart makes a convert of the head, and we choose that which we desire. In our own day and time, we live in an attention economy. Advertising used to be about pushing a product to us or at us through the medium of newspapers, radio stations, or television commercials, all those kinds of broadcast media and print media that we used to have. And now we have, of course, social media, which has captured our hearts. And listen, I'm using it. You're actually listening to me now through some kind of device. And so these things aren't evil in and of themselves. It's what we do with them that matters. But the structure of the economy itself has changed. We have to recognize this. Our attention is now the product that's being sold by media companies and social media companies. That is, It's more, things have shifted a bit, okay? Instead of the product being sold to us, we are now the product that's being sold to the advertisers by the media companies. And so that's why they design, the media companies design algorithms that track our clicks, our listening and watching habits, and then use those algorithms to analyze what we like to watch or listen to so that they can send us more of the same in hopes of appealing to our insatiable desires. And all of this will blossom into an unnoticed media addiction where they can keep selling our attention, our eyeballs, our ears, if you will, to those advertisers. So when you go on social media, most of us begin because we're looking for community, but for most social media companies, we become a commodity. So, yes, look for community. That's important. There's nothing better, though, than in-person community. I'm going to be a champion for that all the time, any day of the week. But I have some great relationships with folks, even as I mentioned at the top of this podcast, who are from around the world, who are connecting with us through devices. So it's, again, not all bad, just need to watch how we use it and how it's forming and shaping us. Because years of cultural influence and shepherding from various entertainment industries and social media has reshaped our hearts, retrained our minds, and redirected our affections. And you may not think so, but I think if you took an honest look, all of us would have to acknowledge, yeah, that's right. We're subtly being shepherded and moved this way, or to soften our view on this, or to change our view on that. Some of it's good. Some of it we need to rethink and redirect. But we get to choose who shapes and influences us, is what I'm trying to say. And we need to be reawakened and renewed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's one of the reasons we study through books of the Bible here at the Village Chapel. We want to choose to be shaped and formed by God's Word. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Reorient yourself, redirect your affections. Step out of the darkness and into the light of the Christ life. Choose whom you will serve today. Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on things that are on the earth. And so put priority there and let your soul, your heart, your mind, your affections all be shaped and influenced by the Lord, by His Word, and ultimately by Jesus Himself. And I'll close with this quote from Spurgeon. I love this quote. It's such a great one. That prince of preachers from the 19th century over in London. He said this, the whole of Christ, W-H-O-L-E, all of Christ, in His adorable character as the Son of God, is by Himself made over to us most richly to enjoy. His wisdom is our direction, His knowledge our instruction, His power our protection, His justice our surety, His love our comfort, His mercy our solace, His immutability our trust. He makes no reserve, but opens the recesses of the Mount of God and bids us dig in its mines for the hidden treasures. Oh, that's great. I just love the way he says that. I'll put that in the show notes. I hope you'll, if you have access to those on the platform you listen to or watch this podcast, that's great. If you don't, jump on over to our website, thevillagechapel.com. You'll be able to go to the resources page and find access to the podcast as well as to the show notes. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, this short passage of teaching from Jesus has stirred and awakened me and my brothers and sisters as well. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us with words of wisdom. Each and every time we go online or watch a TV show or a movie or read a book, help us learn to discern when we are being manipulated or influenced toward an earthly set of values. Instead, shape us, form us, mold us, help us to bring every single thought captive to Christ, to lay all of who we are at your feet, that you might change us, transform us, and send us out into the world to be salt and light for your glory and the good of our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's study. Take a moment to leave a review and share this episode with friends and family. You can stay connected by signing up for our newsletter or follow us on social media. At the Village Chapel, we believe God's Word is unique in its source, timeless in its truth, broad in its reach, and transforming in its power. For more resources or to support our ministry, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com.